Okay, quick introduction to today's episode with Dr. Hazel Wallace, aka the Food Medic. This was an awesome episode. A lot of you listening, I know, will be familiar with Hazel. She's living in London now, working as a doctor, working as the food medic. She's a ridiculously busy schedule, but she's originally from Dundalk, and she's moved over. I think she's about 10 years there now. And today's podcast was talking about her journey and basically all her life tips, life hacks that she has from someone that's in that medical field and how to live a healthier lifestyle coming from the angle as a doctor that's trying to help people through nutrition, through fitness, through lifestyle, through sleep. I must say when I met Hazel first, she's an amazing person first and foremost, but her message is incredible. She sees herself as that new generation of doctors that are trying to make people more health conscious in terms of not looking towards a pill to fix everything, that when we look after our nutrition and we look after our health and we train correctly, that we can basically work through a lot of illnesses that are caused by a poor diet. And we talked everything from Hazel's personal life in here too, how she trains, her morning routine and meditation, her own stance towards nutrition, how she eats. So a little bit of everything here. Massive thank you to Hazel because she is up the walls at the minute with her new book, The Food Medic, that is hitting the bestseller list everywhere that it goes. I have a copy of it myself, just arrived after this interview, because I had been already making some of the foods with Hazel for the Super Value campaign for Wellfest. So I literally ordered it that night because the book is awesome. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. A little bit of everything. We jump in ebb and flow back from her journey, what got her started, to her own nutrition tips, to basically her own routines and the things that make her successful. So I hope you enjoy it.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset and natural wellness. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I'm so excited today to be joined by my guest, Dr. Hazel Wallace, also known as the Food Medic. Hazel created the Food Medic blog in 2013 when she was at university to help educate and inspire herself to become a healthier and stronger person. But she soon realized that there was a lot of value in what she was doing than simply just for herself. And if she could share her message and extend it to her patients and those around her, she could help improve the health of many people, both inside and outside of the hospital. Hazel likes to think of herself as one of the first of the new generation of doctors, one that encourages her patients to think outside the pill box when it comes to managing lifestyle-related diseases such as type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease. This is actually what drew me to Hazel first, as I absolutely love her message that we're going to get into later on in the show. She's also the author of the new book, The Food Medic for Life, which is freaking awesome, by the way, just to go on and go off normal script. I met Hazel in Dublin recently. We were making up some of her salad jars, which are incredible. So if you haven't got her book, it's available nearly everywhere right now. It's hitting bestseller lists on everywhere it goes. Highly recommend it. Hazel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. What an introduction.
Just to kind of, I touched on a couple of things that you've done there, Hazel, but tell everybody listening a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Dundalk, County Louth. So I'm an Irish lass. And then when I was 18, I moved to Wales to study medical sciences. And that was like a 3-year undergraduate degree. And after that, I decided to go into graduate entry medicine, which was another 4-year degree on top of that. But whilst I was at, in my first degree, you know, living away from home, not cooking for myself, just like enjoying life, enjoying going out and everything else that comes with it, I kind of found myself in a position where I gained a lot of weight. I wasn't very healthy. My asthma was out of control, like really bad acne, everything. And I thought that I didn't want to be a doctor that didn't like look or feel healthy. And I think it's really important for doctors to lead by example in that way. So I kind of put myself on my own journey where I was like, right, I'm going to start cooking again and just going to the gym and really looking after myself. And I noticed pretty quickly how my body changed, but also my mindset towards health. And I was so excited to go on to become a doctor and learn all about nutrition and everything. And sadly, when I went into medical school, although I learned everything about anything, I didn't learn anything about nutrition or how physical activity can impact our health. And as someone who was really interested in this, I knew that there was so much research behind it. So that's when I started my blog, The Food Medic, and I wanted to, I guess, share evidence-based advice for people out there who want to improve their health so that they can prevent, you know, becoming unwell in the future, and basically just kind of making sure that they've got a better quality of life. And that's where it all began.
I love it. It makes so much sense. It's funny because one of the reasons that I resonated so much with your message is because you're kind of talking on that prevention is better than cure angle as well, with, you know, look after your nutrition, look after your health, look after your diet, and you'll be able to manage a lot of these things. And even with the patients I'm sure you're working with, you're able to look at it from a holistic point of view. And I love that new generation of doctors, and you're kind of leading that charge now. Tell me, when you started the Food Medic blog first, there was no way of knowing what direction it was going to go in. It's exploded. Like I put up an Instagram story when we were in Dublin, and I'd say I had 10 DMs like instantly. They're like, oh my God, you're with the Food Medic. I'm like, Jesus. Like, so you probably didn't expect it to go that way. But over the last couple of years, how has that changed or impacted your life in terms of the way you work now? Because I know you're still working as a doctor with Locum. Talk to us a little bit about that, just so people can kind of pinpoint where you are right now.
Yeah, I think whilst I was at medical school, I was really shy about sharing what I was doing. And I was anonymous for a long time. because I guess my peers, other medical students, and also, you know, even my teachers and lecturers, they weren't interested in this type of medicine. And I felt like really like a black sheep in all of this. So I was a bit awkward about it. And then when I got to my final year of medicine and I could see, you know, becoming a doctor was on the horizon, it kind of gave me more confidence. And that was when I got my first book deal. So from there, it really skyrocketed. And I moved to London to work in a busy central London hospital. This was 2016. And I worked full time. So, you know, 5 to 7 days a week, depending on, you know, if you're on call or whatever. And I wrote my first book and launched that and done everything else. And I found that it was doable, but I wasn't giving all my time and attention to the things that needed it. So this year I've kind of trimmed back my hours and I've gone locum. So I'm working as like a locum SHO senior house officer in London still. And I work in various specialties from colorectal surgery to breast surgery, acute medicine, a little bit of everything at the moment. I do that about one day a week. And then other than that, I spend most of my time doing talks, whether that's at GP conferences, medical schools, or like events for the general public, whether it's a fitness event, a foodie event, that kind of thing. And also creating content online and trying to basically bridge that gap between medicine and nutrition.
I love that. Like it's and what I love about your presence online, because you're on everything, and I'll be linking everything in the show notes at the end for anyone to check out anything that they may not be following you in, is the fact that social media gives you that reach and that message when it's so strong and powerful and potentially life-changing for so many people. It's amazing to see you doing so much of that to spread your message. Tell me, from my own interest, what kind of got you into fitness and nutrition and healthy eating? What got you into that first? Is that something that, because I know you fell off a small bit when you went to university, as we all have done, but what got you into fitness and nutrition and health first? Was it something you grew up with? Was it something that you, when you started medical school and down that path, it started to expand? What got you into what interested you in it first?
I think like growing up in Ireland, sport was a really big part of just like my childhood. My family like always encouraged that I did, you know, take part in team sports and everything like that. So, you know, I did everything under the sun that I could do. But I guess what really changed my perspective on food and exercise and how that impacts our health was when I was 14 and I lost my dad to a stroke. And just before he passed away, he had been diagnosed with high blood pressure and type 2 diabetes. And I remember him starting medications for his blood pressure and also checking his blood sugars in the morning and doing various things like cutting sugar out of his tea and trying to go to the gym and stuff. But his job used to be an accountant and also a business owner. So a pretty sedentary lifestyle and also like a lot of business lunches, you know, wine and cheese at night, that kind of diet. And although I wouldn't say that he was your classically unhealthy person, I definitely think his lifestyle impacted his health. And I always wonder, you know, what lifestyle advice was he given by his doctor? Did he get any dietary advice? Did he get any support when it came to physical activity? And that was the first time the seed was sown in my head that, you know, medicine is more than pills and potions. It's also like sleep and exercise and food and stress management and all of these things that I feel were compromised in his life. And I guess that's the core passion behind everything I do.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. People on the podcast have heard me reference finding your why or your reason for doing something. That sounds like a fucking strong why. Like, yeah. your impact that you're having is so nearly hardwired in, you know, having to go through that experience and trauma at that age. But it's one of the reasons that your message is obviously so strong, because it's very, very innately within you. And you can see that it comes across in your content. It comes across when I speak to you one-to-one. It comes across in everything that I see, that passion for what you're doing. And I think that's probably, again, this is just personal opinion, but one of the reasons that your message resonates so much with people is because of that. Like, it's the high end of be the change you want to see. And I love that.
Yeah, thank you.
Talk to me then. One of the things that I'm really interested in, Hazel, is successful people and kind of how they start their day. And I'm very, very fortunate in the podcast, some of the guests that I've had on, again, high achievers like yourself, doing their thing, living life on their terms as much as they can. I'm always curious how, particularly someone like you, who's such a busy lifestyle and you do so much, how does your morning, or what does the first hour of your day look like? Do you have any morning routine? Does anything set you up for the day? Or what does, just take us through the first hour, hour and a half of your day. What does that look like?
If I'm having a day where I'm not in the hospital, well, actually, regardless of what day I'm doing, I always wake up before I look at my phone or anything. I've got like an old school alarm clock in my room. It's like a no phone zone. And then I the first thing I do will meditate for 10 minutes. That's something I started doing around this time last year, and I've been doing it every day since. And I feel like it gives me time to, I guess, set my intentions for the day and not allow social media to dictate how I'm going to feel or how productive I'm going to be that day. And that's really the first thing I do. After that, I have a paper journal and I write down what I need to do that day and focus, kind of like I have a to-do list and a could-do list. So on my to-do list, that's what I like absolutely have to do that day. And then I've got like could-do, I can slide it over to the next day or another time. And after that, I usually grab coffee, get ready, and hit the gym. I hit the gym or else I work out at home, depending on how busy I am. But I find when I work out first thing, I'm less likely to like slide it off the to-do list, because you know yourself, things get busy, your inbox gets busy. And I think for me, exercise is such an important part of my self-care routine. If I don't exercise and work out for me, then I tend to feel like less balanced to myself, less focused, whereas it kind of sets me up for the day on a positive note. And then from there, it's like breakfast and then whatever work I'm doing, whether it's I'm going to meetings, I'm going to a photo shoot, I'm traveling, going to the hospital. It varies day to day. It's no day is the same.
I love that. It's a great way to set up your day in terms of, I love, there's a couple of things you said there that I'm just going to pull apart for people, just because, again, you know, Jack Canfield, Tony Robbins, these performance coaches always say success leaves clues. And you see a lot of people that are successful in what they're doing have a very, very similar routines or else some variation of mindfulness or meditation in the morning, training in the morning, writing down the to-do list. But one of the things you said that I love is not going on social media first thing in the morning. And that's something that I experimented myself probably about 2 years ago, because what I found was when you went on to social media first thing in the morning, as soon as you, and I was rolling out of bed and I was going onto Instagram, like literally before my eyes were fully awake. And it puts you into this reactive state all day, because I love what you said about how you're not letting social media dictate how you feel, particularly protecting that first thing in the morning, because that sets up your day. You know, if you own the morning, you have a large chance that you're going to own the rest of the day. So I love that you said that. Talk to me through your meditation. What, because there's so many different variations, it's one of the things that I've talked about recently in a Q&A, because I always thought meditation was, you know, cross your legs on the floor and you focus on your breath. And then I realized that meditation, there's, you know, so many variations of it, that people have different routines, the same as some people do CrossFit, some people do bodyweight workouts, some people do bodybuilding, some people, you know, do strength and conditioning. There's loads of different types of meditation. What does your meditation look like? How does it work for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's lots of confusion around meditation. And like you said, you know, there's this kind of like, in our heads, we have this stereotype where you have to be like bald or like a monk with beads and like levitate when you do it. And that's just not what it is. I think I go into the kind of research behind mindfulness and meditation in my new book and kind of break it down for people to make it a bit more accessible, because I tried to meditate a couple of years ago and found it really difficult because I was approaching it with the wrong mindset. I thought, if I can't clear my brain, I'm not doing it right. And that's not what meditation is. Like, it's not about having an empty head and completely clearing your thoughts. It's about being mindful and being aware of those thoughts and not kind of giving them your attention. Acknowledge them and let them pass, and then try to bring it back to the breath or whatever you're focusing on. So really, it's a practice of being attentive to yourself and being in tune with yourself. And for people starting out from the very beginning, I always advise doing guided meditation. And there's so many incredible apps now. For me, I personally prefer the Calm app, but Headspace is also a really good app. And doing 10 minutes every day seems like quite a lot if you haven't done it before, but it's really not. And I always say to people, do 7 days or do 14 days and try do it every day and see how you get on. And if you enjoy it, just keep doing it. If you don't, maybe try change up your meditation. It doesn't have to be, you know, there's lots of different ways. But like you said, you don't have to sit cross-legged on the floor. You can sit up in a chair once your feet are planted on the ground and you're comfortable and you're kind of in a wakeful position. So you're not slumped against the sofa or anything. There's so many different ways you can do it.
No, I love that. I've experimented with actually all the apps, Headspace, Calm. I've tried a couple of them, and I'm always interested because it's again, I'm not sure of a large Irish audience listening, and it's a little bit of a thing in Ireland where we haven't fully came around to it yet. Again, a lot of people listening to this show will have experimented with it or are considering variations of meditation, and I think it's crucial to have something in your life that switches your brain off. Like that prefrontal cortex, that part of your brain that's constantly overthinking what's going on. I think having something in your morning routine or in your life in general, whenever you feel stressed and worried, having that to go to, it is just crucial for switching off that those voices in the lack of a better way of saying it, that constant chatter that's going on in your brain. So I love that that's how you kick off your day. It makes a lot of sense, and it just balances you and obviously grounds you for the rest of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk us through, we're going to get into the book a little bit later on, because I love it. To give people a bit more context, Hazel's going to be at Wellfest, which will go out, I think, just before this episode will go out just before Wellfest. And we were meeting for the super value, it kind of working through that well food area at Wellfest. And we were cooking some of your recipes, going through some of your recipes. I freaking love the book. I just think it's awesome. You know, as I said, the salad jar thing is just something that I'm like, this is amazing. I'm going to do this. So we'll get into it a little bit, but talk us through a little bit about this new book. What's in it? Just so we have a little bit of an idea of what to expect for anyone that hasn't ordered it yet. and is considering getting it. Talk us through what's in this book at the minute, because there's loads, because I had to flick through. I was nosying through, like every time we had a break and we were chatting, I was going through it. So talk us through some of the things that are in it.
Yeah, it's a heavy book. It's almost like a textbook, but full of recipes. So there's 115 recipes in there, created by myself. And I've largely split the book into two sections. The first section I call Fuel Up, and the second section I call Power Down. And in the Fuel Up section of the book, the recipes are catered for the really busy weeks. So you can like find things like breakfast on the go, lunchbox recipes like the salad jars that you just mentioned, but other things like burgers, falafel, kind of like fork-free food, and then dinner in under 30 minutes, and also loads of snacks because I'm the snack queen. you can trust me. And then the text around those recipes are very much focused on nutrition. So I covered the basics again, like carbs, fats, proteins, what are they? Where do I find them? How much do I need? But I also put in some like, I have these feature pages on various conditions, which we can almost, I guess, manage through lifestyle intervention. And that would be things like irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, type 2 diabetes, that sort of thing. And also a few myth busters, like how many eggs are too bad for me, that kind of thing. Is dark chocolate really good for me? Should I cut out red meat? All of these questions that I get asked all the time. So I put it in there in like little boxes, evidence-based, just bust those myths. And then the second section, Power Down, is for kind of like the weekends, days that you've got off, when you've got a bit more time to get a bit more adventurous in the kitchen. So that's like, you know, dinners on the weekend, when you've got the lads around, when you've got the girls around, and more things like baking, breads and desserts. And then the text to represent that section is all about sleep, mindfulness, meditation, and why it's really important that we do take time to switch off. Because for me, after doing kind of years of researching lifestyle medicine and how our lives impact our health, it's not just food and exercise that's important. Sleep is so important, and also stress management and our social lives. So I think particularly social life, we tend to forget. And I'm a big advocate that it's not just the food that we eat. So it's not just having a healthy diet, but also how we eat. So eating mindfully, you know, taking time to cook it and sharing it with people, and that whole process of, I guess, enjoying it and not, you know, nailing your food whilst driving the car and on the phone to X, Y, and Z. Because I think in this day and age, food has become a bit more of a to-do and rather something that we should have a relationship with.
Yeah, I love that. It's funny because I would be one of those victims of that when you're the busy days and it's really, really tempting. And I know there's a lot of people listening to this podcast right now and they're driving to or from work. And it's really, really tempting to just have food there and kind of just have it picking away as you're driving. But it does make that relationship, I don't want to say unhealthy with food, but it could be significantly more positive, because when you're experiencing meals with your family and your friends, particularly at weekends, I love how you spoke about that, that can be a huge part of your life. And sometimes, particularly, I kind of came from that bodybuilding background, fitness modeling background, was my life for a couple of years. And you can get this really, really negative association with food. And I know a lot of people listening have heard me speak about it or have lived it themselves. And it's what I love about your approach is you're showing people, well, this is how you eat well. This is how you fuel your body. This is how you power down with, you know, all the other mindfulness stuff that comes with it. But it's making people have a better relationship with food and realizing that it's something that you get to have and you can share it with people, and it can be a social thing as opposed to, well, you need to have 30 grams of carbs right now. And I love that message and that angle that you come at it from.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, counting macros and calories has a place, particularly in like performance or, you know, kind of what you went into bodybuilding. But I think for, you know, for your everyday person who just wants to be fit and healthy, I don't think we need to be focusing on macronutrient splits or calorie consumption. It's really just about focusing on what we can include into our diet. And that's like, you know, more fruits and vegetables, more whole grains, more fiber, more oily fish, and just kind of having more of a positive spin on it rather than like cut out X, Y, and Z and make sure that you're having like, you know, 30 grams of protein in every meal.
I love it. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Tell me then, you touched on a couple of the FAQs that you're asked, but what in your eyes is the biggest diet or nutrition misconception, you know, in your area of expertise? So either in fitness or in health in general, what's the kind of the biggest nutrition misconception? I'm sure you've got probably 10 on top of mind, but what's the one that really jumps out at you that you're like, everybody on the planet should realize that this is misconception, this is a myth, or this is an evidence base? Is there anything that jumps out of your mind when I ask that?
I think the biggest thing is that one macronutrient, so carbs, fats, or proteins, is superior to another. Time and time again, I get questions, should I cut out carbohydrates? Should I cut out fat? How much protein should I have? And the thing is, all macronutrients have a place in the diet, and a balanced diet has all of them in there. And we can't really function that well if we drastically cut out or lower one of them in the long term. And I think people are constantly looking for that magic bullet or that silver bullet. But when you look at the evidence and you compare a low fat diet and a low carbohydrate diet, people tend to do the same. It really comes, when it comes to weight loss, it really comes down to just reducing calories. And that is really the kind of the end line to it, except a lot of people just don't want to believe that or don't understand that message, I think.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true, because as you said, I love how balance is a word you've used over and over again through lifestyle, through nutrition, because there's a reason that people have evolved to eat all these different types of food. They have a place. Again, you're also a massive advocate of eating whole foods, real food, as opposed to any processed ingredients, which is a message that I try and put across myself. I'm just curious, in terms of, this is going, I'm going to kind of ebb and flow with this, because it's something that's kind of coming to mind, because I didn't ask you this intentionally, because I knew you were going to come in on the podcast. Your fitness routine, your gym routine, your bodyweight routine, what's your kind of go-to training regimen? Because Aza, you're in ridiculous shape. And I know a lot of it is down to your nutrition, your diet, and your lifestyle in general. And the way that you look is very obviously a byproduct of the way that you live. What does your training program look like?
It's really variable. So I'm a qualified personal trainer myself, but I don't take on any one-to-one clients at the moment. But training is a big part of my personal life as well as professional life. And although I'm a coach, I also have my own coach. So I've got a strength and conditioning coach called Adam Willis, who's based in the UK. And I have a 3-day kind of split type program, which is really strength focused, and it's based around your classic compound movements, so like shoulder press, deadlift and squat, sometimes bench press, and they're kind of like my core movements, and around those days I've got my accessory movements. So it's really strength focused. Outside of the gym, I tend to do my own body weight HIIT workouts, because I'm always traveling, and I think our own body weight is our most underutilized piece of equipment. You know, you can do so much from push-ups to squats, lunges, everything. So that's kind of how it goes. Sometimes I'll jump in on a class. I call them my social workouts, because I usually only do it because I'm doing it with someone else. And, you know, I don't think you can get results if you're doing classes all the time, because, you know, random exercises and random classes produce random results. So if you are looking towards building or focusing on a certain area, you need to have a structured program. And that's what I come back to. But again, if you just want to look at getting healthy, you're not focused on aesthetics or, you know, building a certain area, you know, doing HIIT workouts, doing home workouts are absolutely, you know, they're perfect. They're fine. And it's all about what suits you and your lifestyle and your goals.
I love it. I literally just scribble down random exercises, random programs produce random results. I'm like, that's amazing. I'm 100% going to steal that, but I'll quote it back to you anytime I use it. Because it's so true. Like, classes are they're brilliant, and the social aspect I love. But one of the things that will come back regularly with people is that they're, because I work with a lot of people still in that fitness space, just general fitness, and if they're doing loads of classes, they're wondering why their body isn't changing the way they want or whatever it is they're trying to achieve, because it's not specific. You know, if you're trying to build your shoulders and glutes and you're going to a cardio class, body pump all during the week, it's probably not that specific to what you're trying to achieve. Fit them in, because they're brilliant and they're great HIIT workouts, and they mix it up, and there's muscle confusion and there's all sorts of amazing things that come with it. But always have your core program based around whatever it is that you're trying to achieve.
Absolutely. And I think it was my coach who said that to me, you know, like, Hazel, random training produces random results, because I am such a devil. Like, I love trying out the newest workouts, and especially living in London, there's so many different classes. So like, one day I'll do CrossFit, and then I'm doing HIIT, and then I'm doing spin, and I'm trying loads of different things. And I find that really fun. But you know, you don't get the results you want, although that keeps you fit on a cardiovascular point of view. In terms of like resistance training and building up that muscular strength, you need to have progression in your training. And I think like, it's funny, because over here, like, I feel like there's so many boutique gyms and classes that people are moving away from your classical bodybuilding style workouts. But like, that's my bread and butter, and that's what I come back to. And, you know, today, that's what I was training in the gym.
I love it. Well, those compound lifts, it's funny, because there's very few people that you can't recommend the basic compound movements, particularly performed with perfect form, you know, and increasing resistance as needed for progressive overload, so that you're gradually increasing the weight, so you're failing at your given rep range. Very few people on the planet that wouldn't benefit from those basic movement patterns.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're like, I think people always think, oh, squats, deadlifts, that's like my bum and my hamstrings, but it's really a full body workout. Like, your lats are engaged when you're doing deadlifts. It's your core is engaged, like your calves, like, it's a full body workout. And it's one of the best exercises you can have in your program.
Yeah, 100%. Provided you've no injuries or any pre-existing issues, that they're bread and butter for people starting off and for advanced. I'm lifting weights 17 years. And I still do all the compound lifts. My entire program is always based off some variation of a squat, deadlift, bench, or military press. And then everything else is accessory work after it, depending on whatever it is that I'm trying to achieve. So anyone that's listening, I would highly recommend considering those compound lifts in some variation in your training. Your rep range will be different. Your parameters will be different. The weight you lift will be different. The tempos will be different. But the bread and butter of changing body composition or improving performance or for overall health, particularly performing them with perfect form, is going to benefit the majority of people listening.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Clean Cut Meals. I'm really excited to bring Clean Cut Meals on as a sponsor of the podcast, because I know there's a lot of you listening that have such busy lifestyles and can struggle to prioritize the time to cook nutritious and tasty food. And Clean Cut Meals were the meal prep service I used for the lead up to Marathon de Sable, the 250-kilometer self-sufficient run through the Sahara Desert last month. And a lot of you following my journey on Instagram would have seen them tagged in Instagram stories. So I wanted to bring them on as a sponsor of the podcast, because they provided me with so much value, even so much since I've got back, because of all my speaking appearances and the different business ventures that I'm in at the minute. I've been struggling myself to prioritize cooking meals, so I've been using them since I've got back, because if you are looking to just stay on track and you want the time saved from shopping, prepping, cooking your meals, I just can't recommend them enough. Their food is awesome. I love the taste. They'll fit it to whatever your goals are. So you can check out their website, www.cleancutmeals.ie. You can check the foods on there. You can make your order. And if you have any questions, you can send the guys an email at info@cleancutmeals.ie. So definitely go check them out, www.cleancutmeals.ie. If you're looking for a meal prep service, this is the one I use, and I cannot recommend them enough. So I hope you enjoy today's episode brought to you by Clean Cut Meals.
Awesome. So Hazel, we're going to get into the rapid fire questions. So I say rapid fire, but I'm literally the worst rapid fire person ever, because Anytime like someone gives a one word answer, I ask a question and then it fleshes it out. So I give it the terms of the rapid fire probably are that traditional. So you can rapid fire them, you can one word answer them back, or you can expand on them, or we can engage in a conversation, because I've got to change the name. I've got to stop calling them rapid fire. Myself and Ross, I had Ross on the podcast last week, Ross Edgley. He was on talking about his new book, and we were talking about some of the crazy training stuff that he's done. Our rapid fire turned into like half an hour. Feel free to expand on whatever comes into your mind. You can one word answer it, or you can expand on it. You ready for it?
Sure.
Awesome. So first question, when you think of the word successful, besides any family member, who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
I think if I have to pick one person, who would come to my mind? Who I really love, and not everything I agree that he says, is Jamie Oliver. I think he's obviously a trained chef, but his morals and ideals and his kind of like the way he's trying to make healthy eating accessible for the masses and for kids, I think is really admirable. And he gets so much stick and he just keeps going. So I think for me, he would be like someone that I would look up to in this kind of field. I try to give out my advice on that kind of level, like not just the people who are following me online, but also the masses and the general population.
I love it. Like, I live by the adage that you tell me who you look up to, you tell me who your heroes are, I'll tell you where you'll be in 10 years. And it's funny, it's you can see that. And again, it's moving in that direction. Next question. What purchase of £100 or €100 or less has most positively affected your life in the last 6 or 12 months? So €100 or £100 because you're in London or less.
I would say my paper journal. For a little while, I was putting everything on my mobile because that's what like the people I worked with were doing. Everything went into my paper, into my diary, like my Google diary. But I found it wasn't giving me, I didn't get the same effect from it. So I've reverted back to a paper diary. I got like a bounded one and I got my name printed on it. And now I'm like, fully embrace journaling. Like, it's not just my day-to-day diary, it's like where I put all my thoughts, ideas, everything. And I think like that probably cost me £30 to get like a leather one, but it was a really great kind of investment.
I love it. There's it's funny because there's something very nice about removing yourself from the digital world, even if it's just to journal or write things down. Like one of the things that I haven't fully embraced apart from when I travel is like Kindle books, because I still like the feel of physical books. I also like the fact that I do a digital detox nearly every evening. So my phone goes down at normally 6 or 7 p.m. and then it's not touched again until morning. And I do it one full day every week where I can't be got. My phone is turned off and I do a digital detox every week. And it's amazing the clarity you get from just having these simple things in your life that just removes you from a constant reactive state. And I love that one change has obviously impacted everything in what you're doing because of, again, it's something really simple. It's moving from putting things down digitally to writing them down, and you've seen a benefit from doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next question. Do you listen to podcasts? And if you do, what is one of your favorites or one that you recommend people check out? And it can be in any area, because one of the things that I find, and again, I'm probably a walking example of this, I don't actually listen to that many fitness and health podcasts because you tend to gravitate towards things that are the most relevant to you at that moment in time or whatever it is. So I listen to a lot of business podcasts. I'm subscribed to like all the top ones on iTunes, and I'll jump between them. Do you listen to podcasts? And if so, do you have a favorite one in any area?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I listen to quite a few and jump in and out, but they are largely health related. So like today I was listening to All in the Mind, which is like a BBC Four podcast. And it's basically all the latest science behind mental health and psychology. And they were talking about how exercise, for example, today they were talking about how exercise can not only like be useful in the management of depression, but also prevent depression happening, which is really interesting. So All in the Mind, Sigma Nutrition is another nutrition-based podcast. I think the guy, Danny Lennon, is also.
Yeah, Danny was on the podcast last year. Yeah, Danny's awesome.
He's great. And I think some of his podcasts are a bit science heavy, if you are an everyday listener, but it's also really, it's interesting. I do like Ben Coomer's podcast. I've been on that a couple of times.
Yeah, Ben was on this one too. Ben's a legend.
Yeah, absolutely. And then like my friend Venetia, she's got one called The Talking Taste Buds, which is really interesting because she talks to foodies like myself and like the happy pair about kind of like your background in food and not just like what you do for a job, but also like your history with food. And she talks to so many interesting people. So I love that. And yeah, I guess I dip into all the TED Talks because I think you get like a 16-minute window listening to a topic that you've never listened to before. And it really opens your mind and makes you think about things that you've never really thought about before.
I love it. That's the TED Talks are incredible. You have a TED Talk coming up too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, at the end of May, which I'm currently researching for. So, yeah, I'm excited for that.
Oh, 100%. I'll be keeping an eye out for that too. I'll be watching that as soon as it's out. Okay, next question. What book do you think, besides your own, of course, or any of your books or anything that you've written even journal-wise when you were in university, what book do you think everybody on the planet should read? So not necessarily your favorite book. Because sometimes we have a little bit of a bias with certain books that, you know, we read in childhood or read early on. But is there a book that you read and that you've thought, I think the majority of people on the planet would get something from reading this book?
That is such a tough question. Because, again, largely the books I read will be on mindset, meditation, nutrition, physical activity. And I think because you said apart from my book, you know, there's been a couple of other really great doctors that have written books that I also look up to. And one of the doctors who's also making waves in the UK is Dr. Rangan Chatterjee. And he wrote The 4-Pillar Plan. And it's basically about lifestyle medicine. But I think his book, it's not a cookbook, but it basically talks about food, diet, sleep, and exercise. And I think that's quite, you know, a really good book for takeaways, especially for people who are looking to really take control of their health.
No, I love that. I'll link that one up in the show notes as well. I haven't read that, so that'll add that to my reading list for sure. Last question then. Do you have a quote that you live by or refer to often? Like, there's an ongoing joke on the podcast because I've got so many quotes that I use and refer back to because they kind of give me an anchor when I'm trying to make a point, because I have a lot of brain tattoos of different quotes that support me and help me, and then I'm able to tie back circumstances to it. Is there any quote that you live by or that you refer to often?
I think, like, I always come back to failure is not final. I kind of see that as like the motto of my life because yeah, I don't feel like I've had an easy road with a lot of things, although people will like disagree and be like, well, you know, you seem very successful and everything worked out. It's like, it's never been an easy road. You know, I didn't get into medicine when I was 18, and that's why I moved country to do an undergraduate to then get into medicine, and just, you know, lots of bumps along the way. And I could have given up, but I think when you push through, almost when you come up against resistance, it's because you're going towards the wrong thing or the wrong path, and you always will be guided onto the right path.
I love it. It's again, coming back to that success leaves clues. Like, failure is something I've talked about a lot myself as well, because failure is just one way that didn't work. And sometimes what can happen is I'll look at you, Hazel, and I'll look at Food Medic and all the followers, the books, all the things you're doing, and go, oh my God, she's so successful. It's incredible what she's doing. And that is the first reaction. But nobody ever sees the, you know, the tip of the iceberg, the analogy of the iceberg. You see the tip and you never see the bottom of it. All the work that went into it, the failures that went into it. And as you said, then you're nearly listening to your own internal compass to get back on the path every time you go off it. But I love that because, you know, it's clearly a testament to what you're doing, that failure is just finding out one other way that didn't work.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit, just to finish before we wrap everything up, about, we talked a little bit about the book already. Way, I'm going to link it all up in the show notes. And again, no more than Ross's book. I've seen yours. I've gone through it. I've already ordered it. And by the time this episode goes out, I'll have it. And you'll be seeing it on my stories. I love it. Like, and I do put up book recommendations, but people listening to this podcast, I know for a fact you're going to get so much from Hazel's, particularly if you enjoy cooking, baking, and even reading up. I love the, I had a scan through the mindfulness section as well when we were shooting videos, and in between, you didn't see any of this because you were doing your thing, and I'm like, I'm going to look through Hazel's book. So I think everyone listening here, you're going to get so much benefit from it. So I'll have it linked up in the show notes, but tell people, Hazel, where is the best place for them to get it?
In Ireland, you can get it in Easton's online and in store. Or if you want, you can order on Amazon, WH Smith, Waterstones. That's the best place to find it. I actually did, when I was in Easton's on O'Connell Street last week, I signed like a whole load of copies. So there might be a few copies hanging around. Just check the inside page and you might see that it's signed. So that's a sneaky bonus for you.
Love it. Inside scoop. Love it. And Hazel, to finish off, where is the best place for people to find out more about you? Where do you spend the most time in terms of social media? And again, I'll link it all up in the show notes. Just tell people, where's the best place to find out more about you?
Yeah, it's really easy to find me. I'm at The Food Medic on everything, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Largely spend my time on Instagram, I think, as does many people, and Twitter. And then I've got my website, which is www.thefoodmedic.co.uk. And up there I put, like, you know, evidence-based articles, loads of recipes, and all the events that I'm attending over the next month or so, which gets updated regularly.
I love it. Like, you're super active on Instagram. Like, I know, like, anytime I've been chatting to you, like, you're back really quickly, go through your comments and you're replying. You're super engaged with your audience, which is something I love. So everyone that's not, I'm sure the majority of you listening are already following Food Medic on Instagram, but 100% go check that out after, and all the other places that Hazel just mentioned.
Great. Thanks so much.
Hazel, this has been absolutely awesome. As I said, well, everything's been incredible, what you've done. I love your message. It was one of the reasons that I was dying to get you on the show. I think that whole new trend of the new generation of doctors and looking at it from a holistic point of view, I think it's something that so many people can rally behind because of either issues they've had it themselves in their own life or with family members, and how looking at life in general as a holistic approach is turning people away from the pill box, and that there's a silver bullet and this pill will fix you. And I love how you have that, and you have that background. And I just want to say that I appreciate everything that you're doing, everything you're putting out there. It's just, it's awesome. It's the high end of be the change you want to see and the world being a better place because you're here. So I just want to say a massive thank you for all that you do, and a massive thank you for coming on.
Oh, amazing. Well, thank you for having me on. I'm honored to be on. And I guess I'll catch you at Wellfest.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks so much, Hazel.